My name is Simon Cox. The date is the 22nd of August. The time is 6:15 in the morning. I'm interviewing on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. Can I firstly start by asking you your name, age, and where you come from?
My name's Anne Cater. I'm 42 and I live in Gainsborough in Lincolnshire.
Did you travel down today?
No, yesterday. Got the train from Retford to King's Cross. And we're staying in a hotel just off the square.
Have you always lived there?
I was brought up in Nottinghamshire, but it's only just across the water, across the River Trent. And I've lived in Gainsborough for about 15, 16 years now.
Have your family always lived there?
My husband was born and brought up there, so he just lives around the corner from where he was brought up. My family live in Nottinghamshire, but my mum's originally from Ireland.
How long have you been married for?
10 and a half years. Yeah, 11 years in May next year. We got married in the Dominican Republic.
What made you choose the Dominican Republic?
Because we didn't want any fuss. We just wanted to go away and do it ourselves, so we did. And Martin's a bit shy as well, so he didn't really want to have to do a speech. So it was really nice.
Is there a big difference then in the ceremonies?
Yeah, it's in Spanish. We didn't understand a word of it, so we had to kind of say everything in Spanish, and then the translator translated it for us. So that was quite strange. And it was on the beach, and we had lots of little people playing music, and it was lovely. Yeah, really nice.
What made you decide to choose a Spanish ceremony?
Well, we didn't really. We didn't know that it would be in Spanish. Until we got there. So I was quite worried actually that we weren't married at all.
Do you have any children?
No, I don't know. Two cats, Costa and Nero.
How old are they?
They're two. We had Mac when we first got together. We lost Mac 2 years ago when he was 13. And then we got Costa and Nero, named after coffee because we both like coffee. It was going to be Starbucks, but we didn't fancy shouting that.
Going back to some questions about Plymouth, What made you apply?
Well, I read about it ages and ages and ages ago, because I really like Anthony Gormley, and I knew that he'd put in the tender, and then when I saw that he'd got it, and I just kept checking and checking, it seemed ages before you could apply, and I just knew I had to be part of Anthony Gormley's. I love the Angel of the North. That was it. So I applied, and we were on holiday on the 1st of June in Corfu, so I found an internet, got my emails, and I got the email saying you haven't been successful. And then on the 1st of July, I had a job interview. So I forgot all about this email, went and got the job, came home, got the email to say I got a place. So I was really, really pleased.
And what particular about Anthony Gormley's work?
I just like how it's so different and iconic, and just, it's about him, isn't it? I think this is quite different in that it's not about him so much as about real people, but he's a real person as well. I don't know. I like art, but I find it hard to describe what I like about it. Everything he's done, I've really enjoyed. So,
is there any particular form of art that you enjoy more than others?
No, I like everything really. I love literature. I love reading. I love books. Anything like that. But no, I like all sorts of things. I know what I don't like as well when I go around a gallery, if I don't like it, but I don't know why. I'm not very good at explaining why. But anything really, I'm on the board of a community arts group, so they do all sorts of bizarre things, and some of them are really strange, but I just like strange, quirky things.
What do you do on this board?
Well, I was a community development worker, so I kind of help with funding and just developing the group really. It's a social enterprise, so everybody's volunteers. The chairman owns a disused church, really big church, and we've made it into a community place for people to come along and do whatever they want to do. And slum gothics are a group of kids that just get together on a Thursday night, and they do all sorts. They do music, they do visual arts, but it's all a bit different really. And two of the girls have now got places at art college through that. And they do exhibitions as well. They've got a gallery and they do exhibitions. It's all quite modern, contemporary sort of stuff. We have events, they're quite weird events where people can just come along, and we've made a yurt and we do felt making and all sorts of things really. So, and I just get involved with sitting at the board meeting, which is boring, but I get involved with the events as well and go along and promote them. So it's really good.
And how did you get involved with that?
Through my job first. When I was a community development worker, it was my job to get involved with community groups. And that's when I met the founders of this organisation. And I've moved on jobs now, but I've stayed with them. So it was through work originally, but I just like it so much that I just carried on.
And could you describe your work when you were community development?
When I was community development worker, I worked in Gainsborough, which is quite a deprived area. We've got a couple of the wards in Gainsborough, like the most top deprived in the area. So my job really was to go out and work with people that were trying to do something in the area. So groups made of young people, older people, disabled people, and I'd help them set up and help them find funding to do whatever they wanted to do, write constitutions, networking, all sorts of things really. It was really, really good. Yeah, but funding came to an end, as it does.
Have you always worked in this type of field?
No, I started in admin, and then about 10 years ago I became a volunteer myself. Started with victim support, and then I went on to work for an organisation called SOVA. They're based here in London, but they have national projects. And I was a volunteer mentoring young people who were in care, and then they gave me a job, and I recruited and trained about 80 volunteers to work with young people and work within the youth offending team as well, and just stayed within charities and voluntary work. And but it's kind of expanded now because it's all sorts of things, not just young people.
Can you describe what initially made you volunteer?
I was working in the NHS in admin, and I was getting a bit bored. I needed something else besides that, and I like working with people, and I just, victim support kind of just appealed to me really. Went along and did my training and really loved it, so thought I'd like to do some more, and haven't stopped since really.
And as I understand it, mainly working with children?
Yeah, it was with, when I was with SOVA, it was young people, 10 to 25s, and we had links with the Prince's Trust as well, did some stuff with care leavers, teenage parents, all sorts of things really, yeah, mainly young people. Yeah.
Do you find the work satisfying, rewarding?
It can be very, very frustrating as well when you're working with, especially with the young offenders, and if they go back and reoffend, it can be really, but in the long term it is really rewarding. You know, you do feel as though, I know it's a bit of a cliche, you made a difference, but you do go home and think, yeah, I have done something worthwhile today. Yeah.
Just to ask briefly, what do you plan to do with your time on the plinth?
Okay, nothing great. I'm not doing Britain's Got Talent or anything. But I've got my Slum Gothic t-shirt to advertise the kids. I've got a book from one of my favourite authors, who sent me an advance copy of his book, R.J. Ellery. He was on the Richard and Judy list last year with A Quiet Belief in Angels. So I'm going to read his book, and then I've just got a bit of a sketch pad where I've written some messages to people, and I'll take some photos and just enjoy it really. Nothing, no singing and dancing.
You mentioned literature as a big passion. Mm. Is there anything in particular that you're reading at the moment?
Well, I'm just about to start Roger's book. I'm reading William Trevor's Felicia's Journey, which is, I think it was written in the early 2002 or something. But I read anything really. I'm not a big classics fan, but anything and anything that's out there, I'll give it a go. Yeah.
And how do you feel when you read?
It's my escapism. Just go to another world, block out everything else, and read whenever I possibly can. I've been known to read in the queue, you know, queuing for the bank or it's just another world, and you learn so much as well. Yeah, so I love it. Can't imagine not being able to read. I really can't.
Is it possible for you to name your favourite book and why?
My favourite book and why? Gosh. There's two. So the first one would be Broken by Daniel Clay. It's not well known at all, but it's a kind of modern day To Kill a Mockingbird, and it's set in a sink estate in Southampton, and it really relates to Kill a Mockingbird. Broken is the same person as I can't remember his name in To Kill a Mockingbird. Beau Radley. And there's a girl who's the same girl as Scout in To Kill a Mockingbird. It's just a modern version, and it's fabulous. And I think it was published about 2 years ago. And then To Kill a Mockingbird's probably one of the others. Harper Lee, the only book she ever wrote, the biggest seller ever. Amazing book. Really, really amazing. Love it. And there's lots of things as well. I like Khalid Yassini, who wrote The Kite Runner and A Thousand Splendid Suns, that sort of thing. Yeah, so it changes all the time, but To Kill a Mockingbird, really, and Broken are fabulous.
Can I just expand on why To Kill a Mockingbird is your favourite? Can you pinpoint that?
I don't know. It's just a small, slim book. It's about social justice and teaching. I mean, Atticus, the lawyer, teaches his kids right from wrong and defends the black guy and stands up for him in the times of, you know, the Deep South, and when there's so much discrimination going on, and stood up for his rights. I think it just has such a fabulous message, I really do. And the fact that it was the only book she wrote and then went off and nobody saw her, and it's just got so much magic about it as well. And it's just one of those books that even now it's still got, and then the message is still there. I don't know, it's wonderful. It's hard to expand, really. I love literature, but I'm not really good at kind of analysing it all, but it's just, I love it.
You mentioned social justice. How does that make you feel?
What? Social injustice really winds me up. I really I'm quite a laid back person, but think then when I hear about things that aren't fair and prejudice, discrimination, it really, really does anger me. I feel frustrated sometimes because you can't change, or you can try to change things, but it's very, very difficult to change things. And I do like to stick up for the underdog, and I think that's why I do volunteering, you know. Especially with young people who are vilified today, you know, that everybody just assumes that they're all bad, and you know they're not. So yeah, I do feel really strongly about things like that.
Is it possible to you to ascertain why you get so uptight about social injustice?
I don't know, really. My mum's Irish, Catholic Irish, and she came over to England in the 60s, and she married an Englishman. And I suppose I realised that there was a lot of, it was quite hard really when to go home for them, because she'd married an Englishman, and I saw this kind of discrimination from then. I wasn't brought up in a place where there was a lot of black and minority ethnic people at all, but I kind of suffered as a child from bullying because I stuck up for people that other people bullied. I wasn't particularly bullied because of anything about me, but because I would stand by somebody who was seen to be strange, I kind of suffered as well. And it's just something that's in me. You know, I'll always tried my best to see the best in people. Sometimes you let down. It's kind of my mantra, really, to see the best in people. I've got friends who are the opposite, who don't trust anybody, and then they think it's nice when that person turns out nice, whereas I think that's quite sad, whereas I kind of trust everybody and sometimes let down. Yeah, but I don't know if there's anything that just sparked it off. It's just how I am, just for the underdog.
I'm just going to refer you back to the plinth. Do you have any expectations, hopes, fears, feelings about going on for an hour?
Well, I'm a little bit scared of heights, and I'm not so sure about the JCB bit. But other than that, when you see it in real life, it doesn't look as high as it does on the screen. So I just want to just it not to rain and just enjoy it, really. I've tried not to think too much about how I'm going to feel or if there's going to be lots of people, or I just want to enjoy it, really. I've got great expectations, just see how it goes.
This project's about getting a portrayal of Britain. So I'm going to ask you if you can to describe what's important in your life at the moment.
My important in my life is that I keep in work. I lost my job a few months ago, but I got another job, so that was a tricky time. And that I'm happy and healthy, and my little nephew grows up in a nice world, because I don't have any children, but I've got a little nephew who's 6, and he's just the light of my life. And I worry about the world for him, but just that my friends and family and everybody are happy, and I've got a job and enough money to live on, and just basic things, really. Nothing major.
How do you feel about family?
Family's everything to me, really, really important. My mum's my best friend, I suppose, and I just got the one brother who's got that little boy, Dylan, and he's just everything. I go to see him every week, and my husband as well. We're best mates as well, but anything that happens to me, they're the first that I speak to, and we are quite a close-knit little family. Although we don't live on each other's doorsteps, we do make sure we see each other every week. Yeah, they're very important.
You mentioned you were travelling in Corfu. Whereabouts did you go?
We went to a tiny little place called Arillus, which is on the northwest coast. But I love Greece. We try to go to Greece twice a year, so we've been all over. Kefalonia is my favourite island. But Corfu this year was really, really nice. It was just in the middle of nowhere, and there's no hot dogs and fish and chips and football, and it was just a little tiny village, and it was really lovely. Yeah, and I love it. I just love the Greek people, like the way of life, everything about it. I can't wait to go back.
Is travelling important to you?
I've not done lots of travelling. It's package holidays, really. But yeah, my holidays are important. I do think it's a good mantra to have a holiday booked, something to look forward to. Yeah. Yes.
Do you have any other mantras?
Never look back. Yeah. There's no point in looking back, really. That's it. And be who you are. And say what you say. And how does it go? Was it Dr. Seuss? Be who you are and say what you say, and those that mind don't matter, and those that don't matter mind, or something like that. And I think that's really, really good. Although sometimes I think if you say what you feel, you can upset people. But don't look back. There's no point in regretting, and be who you are.
And what are you looking forward to after the plinth?
Oh, I don't know, really. I've been waiting for ages. It seemed to have taken up like my hopes for ages and ages. Going back to work, I've got an interview on Thursday to make my job permanent, hopefully. So there's that. Going to Ireland in October, taking my husband to Ireland for the first time. So he's never been, so I'm really looking forward to that. And seeing some friends when we go over to Belfast. But they haven't got anything major, just getting it done and having a look around London this afternoon.
Do you still have family over in Ireland?
Yes, yeah, I've got an uncle over there, and loads of cousins and things, you know, and lots of friends, yeah. And then one of my best friends lives in Belfast as well. So we'll go there first and then into the south of Ireland. So yeah, there's lots of family. Martin's got lots of meeting to do. Yeah.
What does your husband do?
He's an estimating engineer, and he makes the bits for tube trains, strangely enough, in Lincolnshire. So when we go on the tube yesterday, like looking around to see bit what he which bits he made. He's been doing that for ages since he left school. Yeah.
You said you're married for 10 and a half
yes.
years. When did you first meet?
Oh, crikey. We met about 17 years ago on New Year's Eve in the pub where my mum and dad live, or where the pub that I used to go to. It was quite corny, really, because he looked a bit like a boy band member in those days. He doesn't anymore, and I just told him he looked like somebody from Take That. And that was it. We got together and we got married. We got engaged, I think it was the year after, and then got married about 5-6 years after that. Yeah. Happy.
Fantastic.
Mm.
Thank you.